Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to take a look today at St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, which sections of this letter are given at Mass this week. Beautiful, powerful letter where Paul really looks at two key things, the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the Lord, which I'm going to look at mostly today, and then also the completeness of Christians in Christ, is what one commentary said, that what happens to us when we're baptized into Christ and we're united to that Jesus who is Lord and preeminent and all power and glory belongs to him. So I'm going to jump in today at verse 9 in chapter 1. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. You know, this word is a living word because it's God-breathed and it has a capacity to penetrate the human heart right to the core of our being, to touch us in our spirit. It has power to change and transform us, to renew our minds and to strengthen us, to make it possible for us to see God's glorious plan for each and every one of us. And it has a capacity to free us from darkness, from bondage, from fears, from false ideas, from various kinds of things that have laid hold of us in our life. And it allows us through the grace of the Holy Spirit to hear the voice of God. These letters, this scripture, is a love letter to you, to me. God, who is love, speaks to us in love, spoke perfectly to us in love through his Son, Jesus. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us as well, because the Spirit helps us, empowers us to be able to see, to know, to understand, and actually to experience God's love in our hearts. And so we pray this morning as we begin, everyone who's listening, we unite our hearts together. Wherever we are, whatever stage of faith you're at, or maybe you don't even have faith and you just stumbled onto the program today, I want to pray for you too, that the God of love, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord himself, and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us, that the Holy Spirit today could help this word come alive and would change us. God's word has power to change us, and we want to be changed, and that is conformed to Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our minds and fill our hearts as we offer this day and this word to you. Amen. Verse 9. And so from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. This is Paul, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'll just take a minute to consider part of what he's saying here. He's saying, so Paul is, as he says in each letter, he's praying for these young communities that are growing. This is a young, small community of men and women who've been baptized, mostly Gentiles, who've been baptized into Christ. They're coming alive in the faith. Paul's writing them a letter, and he's reminding them, I'm praying for you. And here's specifically what he's asking God for and asking Jesus for, that they be filled, and they be filled with the knowledge of his will. It's such a central piece of what it means for us to live as disciples. I mean, it seems quite obvious, right? But that's really partly where the battle is. You know, Jesus himself, when he taught the apostles how to pray, he said, pray like this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's one of the central cries of the heart of every disciple. Father, may your kingdom come. The kingdom of your plan, your economy, your rule, your dominion, your way. May the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done in my life. And he said that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. These are spiritual gifts. We talk about them in confirmation, right? Wisdom and understanding, knowledge, other kinds of spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, a capacity, wisdom to what? To make right decisions, to be able to understand how to walk in God's way in a practical way in daily life, understanding of who God is, understanding of who we are in Christ, understanding God's power and his plan for our lives. He said, for the purpose of, so that we might lead a life worthy of the Lord. What does a life worthy of the Lord look like? Well, the next phrase Paul says, that is a life fully pleasing to him. He'll say that in other places as well. He said, let's make it our aim to please the Lord. Let's really make that our life goal. Let's make it the fundamental thing we're focused on each day amidst all the tasks and responsibilities that we go through in life. To have our number one goal in the day, in whatever I'm doing all for the glory of God, and my heart is set on doing whatever I'm doing, relating to people, the way I relate to people, the way I fulfill my responsibilities in the day, that I obey what the scripture says is rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, that I'm throughout the day practicing God's presence, living in a way that I acknowledge that he's with me, that I'm not alone, and I walk out the faith. Doing that is living in a way that pleases the Lord. And ultimately, obeying Christ is the way to express our love for him. And the fullest way we can live in a way that's pleasing to God is to walk in love, to be obedient to the direction, the promptings, movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to be docile to the leading of the Holy Spirit, always asking, Lord, what's the loving thing for me to do in this situation? How can I love you today? And how can I love you in this specific moment in this way? That's a life that's worthy of the Lord. It's a life lived, as Paul said in the introduction, of faith, hope, and love. We're really living it out, the theological and moral virtues. He goes on to say, if you live in a way that's fully pleasing to God, Paul's saying, I'm praying that you will then bear fruit in every good work. So if we're walking in love, and as Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to talk to Jesus each day, to converse with him throughout the day. It's to remember his promises to us, remembering his commandments to us. It's following his leadership. It's being with him and living with him consciously throughout the day. And if we abide in him, Jesus said, you will bear fruit. And every one of us is commanded by Christ to bear fruit. When we leave this world, and it's coming soon, friends, even if you're 15 years old and you're listening to this radio program, life is short. It's a passing shadow. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And these exhortations make sense if we're living with an eternal perspective. We understand the meaning and the value of our life here on earth and the importance of fulfilling our vocation, our duties, our responsibilities. It's all significant. But we always live with, one foot here and one foot in the kingdom. And our heart is both present here and present in the kingdom because we know this time on earth is temporary. We're pilgrims. We're passing through, and we're passing through a fallen world. And we're passing through a world that in many ways is largely living, there's forces and powers here that are largely living in rebellion against God. And the last thing that the demonic forces and the dark forces in the world are concerned about is pleasing the Lord, is living a life worthy. In fact, their entire purpose in trying to enthrone and the dominion of Satan in this world and the demons that are deployed to oppress and to tempt and to trouble human beings and to distract us and turn us away from this precise goal, a daily goal of living in a way that pleases God and living a life worthy of the Lord that the Lord wants to empower us to be able to live. It's not a lifestyle that's far off that we can't reach. But because of the gift of the Holy Spirit and life in him, he gives us a power and a capacity to live that way and in a way that's fruitful. It's the last thing the devil wants us to be able to do. On Judgment Day, when this time on earth is over for us, or when Jesus comes again, maybe in our lifetime, Jesus will check our fruit. What kind of fruit is on our tree, you might say. And if you've lived the way Paul is exhorting us to live, you're going to bear fruit. But if we haven't, we're not going to bear fruit, and that the visibility, you might say, of our fruit or not is going to reveal the condition of each one of our hearts. Did we love God? Did we learn how to love? Did we learn how to love our neighbor? Did God's top priority, Jesus saying clearly, the first commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's the first and the greatest of the commandments, and it's the first and the greatest thing we could ever do is respond to the love that created us in the first place. Our Creator, our God, who gave us life, who holds us in being, who designed us for such a high and glorious purpose. And he loves us and he calls us to love because that's what we're made for. And so the fruit of our lives is going to reveal if we responded to God's call and the commandment to love. So Paul goes on in verse 11. So may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanksgiving to the Father. So Paul knows that this life he's calling us to, a life fully pleasing to God, a life worthy of the Lord, that it's possible because of the power that we've been given in the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the apostles, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you shall be my witnesses in the way you live and the way you speak. You'll bear witness to the reality of my power and resurrection, the truth of my word. So if you're baptized into Christ, you have a power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And you're meant to walk in relationship. Paul would say later, walk by the Spirit. We're called to and we're enabled by God to walk in relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit in us, the first agent of the church's mission, the dynamism, the power source for living the Christian life that leads us to glorify the Lord. And Paul says to have endurance and patience. He knows more than any of us how much the world resists the kingdom of God and how difficult life on earth is. Christianity, the Gospels, the letters of the apostles are loaded with Christian realism. It's not pie in the sky. They understand life on earth is a trial, but it's a brief trial. It's not an eternal trial. It's a brief trial that requires endurance. And it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And that's another reason it requires endurance and patience and trust. The devil wants to stir us up in fear and panic and get caught up in the disordered energy of the world, which is always filled with, you know, lustful drives and disordered passions and always running, running, running and rarely being patient and living in peace. And Paul is saying, if you live in the power of the Holy Spirit and are walking with it, endurance and patience, you'll experience the joy of knowing God, of being in relationship with him, being that child of God, like John the Apostle said, I think it was yesterday I mentioned, he said, beloved, we're God's children now. And we know the destiny of God's children and God's family because the firstborn has come into his inheritance, Jesus. And he's going to share that with us. And we already have a down payment in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's then praying that we would manifest this lifestyle. He said, and then in it, giving thanks to God the Father, which of course the Eucharist and Mass is the height, it's the fullness, it's the highest way that we express that thanksgiving, but our whole life is meant to be a praise to God the Father in the power, through Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I just want to end with these last few seconds. It's a beautiful line. We give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. You have been qualified by the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ and in baptism, becoming a child of God. You now have been put in right relationship with God so that you can share in the inheritance that belongs to Jesus and that he is sharing with all the saints in glory. That's your life. That's your destiny. And Scripture says, keep your mind fixed on these things and watch what Christ does with your life.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.